Welcome to Let's Talk Math, the podcast where we explore all things math, classroom tips, best practices, and the struggles we all face. Whether you are searching for fresh ideas or just a space to reflect, we're here to explore it all. Join us as we share insights, strategies, and honest conversations to create better teaching experiences. Let's talk math and make every lesson count. Over the next 8 episodes, we're diving into Joe Buller's inspiring book, Mathish, Finding Creativity, Diversity, and Meaning in Mathematics. This book invites us to rethink how we view, teach, and engage with math. We couldn't be more excited to explore its ideas with you. I'm Kim Jimenez, and I bring over 2 decades of experience teaching secondary math. Joining me is my amazing co-host for this series.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bricker. I have over 30 years of teaching K through college in mathematics, but most of my teaching has been at the secondary level. And I am so happy to be here with Kim.
Together, we've spent decades in the classroom witnessing the challenges, triumphs, and ever-changing dynamics of math education. In this first episode, we're diving into Chapter 1, A New Mathematical Relationship. We'll explore what it means to transform our connection to math from one of rules and procedures to meaningful and creative experience. I thought it was really interesting how she started out the book talking about the CEO and how she's such a math nerd and had to go to dinner and talk math with the CEO of this big company.
I know it took a lot of courage to do that because she just wanted to get to know who he was and why he was so successful and bring her ideas to the table. No pun intended.
I thought it was interesting that she came and she's like, here, what do you see in this pattern? And she just like jumped right onto it, right in the whole idea of what math means.
Just like a teacher would.
Right. And she jumps in and he's like, well, it was that what she claims to be a narrow math thinker. Mm-hmm. Right. Because he thought of it as there's only one way to see this problem and there's no other way to see it.
Right. Right. And then when she showed him all of the other, because there were other people at the table, and they all had a different idea, and his first words out of his mouth were, doesn't everybody see it my way? Which was very eye-opening to me, because as a teacher, when we're teaching, we think there's only one way to do things also.
Well, and isn't that how you started? I know for me, I started my teaching career thinking, well, I teach them just one way. It's going to be easiest for them. And it's not their way. It was my way because my way was the right way.
Correct.
And I wasn't doing it to be mean or anything. I was doing it because I thought it helped them become better mathematicians.
Correct. And I think it's important to let other people see other people's methods or highways to get to an answer because it's there's so much richness in math that other students might not even recognize. And that was proved by that CEO. He was floored by other methods to get to what Joe Buller was looking for.
And that leads to her idea of what she says is mathematical diversity, which is really big throughout her book, where she's talking about from her book, it relates to both the value of diversity in people, whether racial, cultural, social, or any other form of diverse ways we can see and learn mathematics. And for me, that was a huge idea to think of it as mathematical diversity. And to really try to instill kids to share their ideas.
Right, right. And another theme in her book is to celebrate mistakes too. So if somebody makes a mistake, that's great because it shows the other kids in the classroom. Not only is it creates an atmosphere of trust and it reduces their anxiety a little bit, I think, when they know that they can make a mistake and it's okay to make a mistake because you grow from that. There's another thing that she talks about is your mistakes. And this was new to me too. I knew I had learned it somewhere in high school or college, but every little thing that you learn or mistake you made is a new highway in your brain to have you, if you want to bring it back up, there's now a pathway where you made that mistake and you won't go that route anymore. So you're creating, they're called synapses.
I think so.
I think so. We're not scientists. But I think that's important to note and let kids know in your classroom that that is, making mistakes is huge and very, very beneficial to every child.
So let's go back to her idea about narrow math, because I think that's a huge thing, because I know a lot of the times we teach how we were taught.
Oh, exactly.
And then how we learned.
Exactly.
So we're math teachers. So of course we learn just by sitting there and watching, because we're math teachers. That's
right.
What we did. Like if we didn't understand it, we figured it out. But we have to come to the realization, not all kids learn that way. And we really need to give them a playing field where they can have discussions and learn from each other. And so instead of giving that question, like, the narrow math where it's only one way to solve it and one answer, we need to think outside the box and really try to get ways that we can engage students and get them to enjoy math and talk about math with questions that are more open-ended.
Right. And I think another highlight she does is to bring the visual into the mathematics also. So instead of doing a worksheet with just 3 + 1 is how much, 3 + 5 is how much, where's the visual piece of that? And I know I didn't grow up like that. And I know you didn't either. We were always taught it's how fast you can do something.
A procedure, yeah. Algorithm. It was
yep.
an algorithm.
Exactly. And I was told I had a math brain. And I think you probably were too. That's why we went into mathematics, because we were good at it. So I think to create, making, opening that up, the narrow-minded math is great for people who have math brains, but there is no such thing as a math brain, says Joe Bowler. Everybody can be developed into a math brain, but we shouldn't even use that word. You should use, she talks about growth mindset, and I know I'm jumping ahead here, but it's all over her. Their first chapter opens up so much information. And you just want to share it with other teachers because it's great stuff.
I love this book. I couldn't put it down.
I know.
Like, I think I read it like 20 times already because it's so good. And just trying to figure out what the highlights are was so hard because I felt the whole thing was like everybody needs to read it.
Right.
Because it's such good information and just getting that way of rethinking how you teach.
Right.
And it's taking what you're already doing and just tweaking it. So it's not anything brand new.
No.
It's just trying to take something you're already doing and just change it a little bit to try to engage those students a little
right.
bit more.
And I wish this book would have been for me many years ago. I wish this would have been around. And I think some of the methods have been, but she's got it concise into her book.
I really like how she talked about that. I don't know why I love this, is that there's a broken relationship, that people have a broken relationship with math. I almost feel now that this is our therapy. This is like we need to conduct therapy to get them to enjoy math, because that's what it is. It's we like math because we enjoyed it.
Right.
We had fun doing it. We were able to talk about it, whereas students, they don't have that joy, and we need to find how to bring that joy to them and show them math can be fun.
Right. And the anxiety that math, people that don't enjoy math have a lot of anxiety and they shut down. So I think this book creates a lot of ways to instill a little bit more fun in mathematics. And once you have that foundation and the visual representation of what math is, it's all the better for those kids with anxiety too, because they can see it versus just being some algorithm, like you said, and a trick or a procedure to do something, where if you're doing it visually and somebody else has a different visual, so you've got all these ideas coming into one where you discuss that along with the mistakes is beautiful.
And you talked about math anxiety and the people with math anxiety, those students, like we've never experienced that.
No.
So when somebody tells me they have math anxiety, I'm like, you're crazy. Like, what is that? Because I've always enjoyed math. I've
exactly.
never had that like moment of like, what?
Same.
Like going blank.
Same.
And so for me, when she talked about the areas of the brain and how if you fear a spider or you fear a snake, because I hate snakes.
I hate spiders.
And how that fear reacts when you see one, and how you just shut down.
Oh, the
and
memories
you go
come back.
right? And so for me, that was a huge thing to really understand when people say they have math anxiety. Mm-hmm. That really helped me to understand like the fear they're going through to have that. I was like, when I read that statement, I was like, oh my gosh, people fear it that much. Like I was shocked.
Same.
And I think that just really helped me like put things into perspective for those students that have that, because we're keep trying to push them. All teachers are good teachers. They're trying to push them through. They're trying to help them, but they're not understanding that they shut down that minute they see a fraction or
a word problem
or just math in general. They step into the math class. Imagine that anxiety they feel just stepping into that class. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we need to work on bringing joy back to math.
I like it. Or bringing Joe. Her name's Joe.
Oh, bringing Joe back to math. Going back for me, the narrow math is really huge because my daughter, Katie, loves math, loves physics. She's a math person. I did air quotes. You can't see it. But I don't think there is a math person. But she loves math. She enjoys doing it. But she took a class at COC and she took a physics class and a calculus class. Okay, she didn't do well in calculus. She did so amazing in physics. The reason being is that the teacher in math taught them through narrow math. Here's your way you do it. There's no other way to do it. When you talk physics, she came home one day and she's like, Mom, I forgot how to find the force. I forgot the force formula. But you know what? I had a different way I could do it. So she was able to use math diversity and her creativity in solving that one problem.
That's great.
So I think really need to get back to that idea, or get to the idea that it's okay. We need to get to that creativity and that diversity in math.
Yeah, and I grew up with not wanting the other ways. I just wanted the most direct way. So I was a narrow math student, but I was like that because I was I didn't know any other way. So it's interesting. What kind of teacher? I consider myself a good teacher, but I taught narrow math. But whenever somebody brought up a different way, I never poo-pooed it. I always said, great, there are lots of ways to get to Disneyland. You might hear me say that quite often.
Did you ever find, so, because we are narrow math, that's how we learned, mm-hmm. but there was a level of math that I got to, I just got stuck because I never understood the process. I never understood the math behind it. Yeah. So yeah, I went there because that's what my teachers told me.
Right.
Like I followed the process. I followed the algorithm. But then I got to college and I took those math classes. Let me tell you, some of those were a little rough.
Yes.
Let's talk about like I had to take advanced modern algebra, advanced modern geometry, linear algebra.
That was my favorite. Linear algebra was, I loved that class.
I was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
Even Calc 3. Like, I was like, what is going on? I was just, because I never learned the reasons behind it. I just learned the algorithm.
Right. For example, one of the things in the book that I used to teach, and I'm guilty of this, is dividing fractions. Keep, change, flip. That was, I must have said that 1,000 times in my 30 years of teaching. Keep, change, flip.
Do you know why they do that?
No.
Okay, it took me forever. I'm not going to explain it on here, but literally I read that in a book somewhere. I'm like, why? Why do we divide by the, what? And I literally took me a half an hour. I'm a math teacher. I've been teaching math for over 20 years. It took me forever to figure out why we had to do it.
Right, because that's how we were taught.
Those tricks.
Yes, the tricks and the little to make things go faster, but it didn't go deep. I can do the math, but the why is missing. Why does that work? And she does Joe Bowler does a great example on a couple of procedural fractional things, and it's well worth the read.
It's amazing. So we have a challenge for our readers, or for our listeners, not our readers, for our listeners.
Yes.
Our challenge for you is we want you to rethink math as a creative endeavor. Let's step away from those process and procedures. Let's get kids thinking and being creative of how to solve that problem.
Right.
So if you can identify one lesson or concept where you typically focus on procedural fluency, so like when you're solving equations, that's a huge thing, right? Mm-hmm. Graphing functions. I remember graphing functions, I tell them you always go up and then to the right or to the left, depending on if it's positive or negative. But there's
rise
different
over
ways,
run. You rise and then you run.
Right? But you don't have to do it that way.
Right.
So think of something that's very procedural. And I want you to challenge yourself to reframe it as an opportunity for exploration or discovery. So what does that mean? Well, instead of teaching the method first, why don't you try asking them, how do you think you could solve this? What could you do?
Can you use pictures? Can you use manipulatives? Can you use other things? And then let the kids come back and share what they did. So make it the Kim method or the Debbie method.
After the student, I love it. That personal touch, that feels so special.
Right, right. And even and if they make a mistake, celebrate it. And let that person, so that person doesn't shut down. Let the other kids say, oh, that was great, but you didn't do this here. How can you change the culture in your classroom just a little bit to let the kids shine more than directional?
And not just to let them shine, but add that creativity,
right?
That joy of math.
And create the roadmaps in their brains.
So our challenge is for you to try to find a concept, our lesson plan, where you take it and instead of making it procedural, you use it to explore and discover and lead discussions and let the kids kind of drive their own education,
right.
Drive their own learning.
Right. And we would love to hear your ideas and your little things that you've changed in your classroom. It doesn't have to be something major. Don't let any anxiety come from this. This is just you trying a little tiny change in your classroom.
And so feel free to share with me. I have an X. You can reach me at Let's Talk Math 101. And if you would, hashtag math, make math fun, hashtag math diversity, hashtag creativity.
Thanks for listening. Math isn't just a tool. It's an art. See you next time.